Yes. Moreshet Moshe is for us?
Yeah. That's for the second half, you know, when we.
Okay. Okay,
Rabosa, I will get started.
What are they doing here?
If we can close the door, it would be great.
Those are the exceptions of
And we're on Daf Chesed. I'm going to start with Amar Rami Bar Chama, which is about eight lines down from the top. We started this yesterday, but let's get into it today. Zoso Meretz. From the fact that the Mishnah establishes that if two people are holding on to a talis, that we split the talis yachloku because we assume hachaluki yachol lios emes, which means that maybe they both were zoche and were kona this talis simultaneously. So two people lift up a talis that was hefker, and they're both zoche, each one in half. Zoso meres hamadbiya mitzil chavero kana chavero. That even though when I pick up a mitzi on your behalf, it's chav lacherim. There are many people on the face of this planet that lose as a result of your being zoche in the hefker, because everyone on the face of the planet has an equal right to acquire ownership on something that's hefker. But nevertheless, kona chavero, I can be kona on your behalf, even in the case of a metzia, even though lechora it's chav lacherim. The underlying premise of Rami Bar Chama is that if Reuven is picking up half the talis, he cannot be zocha in half the talis. He's got to be magbia a hagba on the entire talis. And the same obviously is true for Shimon. So how is this kinyan hagba effective? The only way we could understand the mechanism of the kinyan hagba is if we assume that these two individuals are working in tandem. That Reuven is working not only on his own behalf to be zochin the talis, but also on behalf of Shimon. Because if Reuven is, in a sense, the adversary of Shimon, and Reuven is interested exclusively in his own hagbah, but not in being a shliach on behalf of Shimon, then in effect he's only lifting up half the talis. The premise of Rami Bar Chama is that you can't just lift up half the talis. Later on, the Gemara is going to have a discussion about this. Let's say half the talis is tied down to a pole and it's lifted off the ground. Is it enough that you lift up the part of the talis that's dragging you on the ground? And then the Gemara wants to say that he and the pole, so to speak, are partners in the Hagbah. But if I'm acting only solely on behalf of myself, then since Shimon is lifting up the talus, his Hagbah is not related to me, and if I'm only lifting up half the talus, that's not a valid Hagbah. Says Rami Bar Chama, the only way we can justify and validate this hagbah as a mutual kinyan in which we both acquire ownership, albeit on half the talis, is we assume that each one, is a shliach on behalf of the other one. And here we have machlokas rishon, just give me 1 second, which we spoke about at great length yesterday. Does Reuven have to make that declaration out loud? Is it Dvarim Shebelev, or can we assume that since Reuven certainly wants to act in this Hagbah on behalf of Shimon, because otherwise Shimon is not going to act on his behalf, that there's a certain collusion, so to speak, there's a certain agreement that's inherent in this simultaneous sync of two Hagbahs, that each one is working on behalf of the other?
How could that be if each one claims Kula Shelev?
Correct. So it works like this, that the claim of Kula Shali is what's called Chaluka Eini Yechol Lios Emes. What do I mean? We're not going to say Yachloku if we take the claims and we want to apply them to this talus, because it can't be that both Reuven and Shimon have ownership over the whole talus. So what we're going to do is we're going to reinterpret, so to speak, the claim of Kulishali. And again, he's claiming it's I got there first. But if he insists on I got there first, then one of the two is certainly a liar. The underlying premise, you may remember that Rashi says in the case of Aniyaraktiya and Aniyaraktiya that we cannot say Yachloku in that case. We're going to have to say Yehimunach, we'll have to wait for Eliyahu HaNavi. Why? Because there it's a Vadei Rama. Either Reuven wove the garment or Shimon wove the garment. In the case of Talis, the only justification for Yachloku is the fact that we may assume the possibility, as the Gemara points out, that back on Daf Beis Amid Beis, that each one simultaneously lifted up the Talis. So the Gemara says, the Isal Kedaitach Shalokana Chavero, if you're going to tell me that in the case of Hefker, you cannot pick up the Hefker on behalf of so-and-so, is Teosa Kemisha Daim Munachas Al Gabi Karka. In this case, if each one is operating on his own behalf to make Agbah and a Kinyan on the Talis for himself and only himself, here's a case where selfishness doesn't pay off, because then, as far as the second half of the talis is concerned, it's kavisha munachas hagabi karka. It's as if he never lifted it up. Why? Because Shimon lifted up the other half of the talis. And even though Reuven potentially could have lifted up the entire talis on his own, but it's a case of shnayim shasua, and therefore each one is considered having done agbah and half the talis. Now agbah and half the talis is not valid, and therefore we have to somehow integrate the two hagbos and make them into one hagbah in the entire talus. We can only do that if we assume that each hagbah is being done on behalf of himself and his friend. Because otherwise, lo yikne lozev lozeh, it would remain hefker, and we would not apply the principle of yachlok el lav, but rather shmamina magbia mitzil lechavero kona chavero. Amar Rava, this is what we got up to yesterday. Li olam eim lecha. He's going to argue from the adversary, from the opposite position, the devil's advocate, as we call it. Shamagbia mitzil chavero lo kana chavero. Why? Because if you're picking this up on behalf of so and so, you're doing it at the exclusion, at the loss, and the hefsed of everyone else in the world who would love to get a chance, a shot at picking it up. That's called chav lacherim. So you'll ask me, why then do we say Yachloku in our Mishnah? But here we have to introduce another principle that underlies our Mishnah. V'ahinu taima migu dezochi lenafshe zochi nami lechavre. That when is it possible for me to be zocha on behalf of you, on your behalf, in a case of a mitzia, and it's chav lacherim, it's only in this very unique case where I want to be zocha on my own behalf, now I can expand the scope of my kinyan, and I can be zocha on your behalf as well. So that's called migu. So in the note here, he says in the name of miyuchasim l'ritva, that this all comes down to the question of a yad. What is a yad? A yad means a legal halachic power or authority to be zocha in something, to make an acquisition. Does a person have a yad to be zocha in something which is hefker on behalf of someone else? Says Rava, no, he has no yad. But we have a principle called, again this is my terminology, expansion of a yad. What do I mean? That if you already have a yad, for example, if you want to pick up the hefker on your own behalf, the Torah gave you a yad, even though it's chav lacherim, so kol kodem zoch, whoever gets first to pick up the mitzia is zochin it. Therefore, we're going to expand your yad, even to the case of chav lacherim, when you want to be zochin this object on behalf of someone else. So basically, according to the Ritva, what we could say is that the mechanism of migu is expansion of a yad. And we find this in halacha, that sometimes it's much more difficult to create a chalos than it is to expand the chalos once the chalos is chal. So you can take something that has a narrow scope and you can expand that scope, because in the narrow scope it is valid. There's a chalos shem yad here. So there's a yad for himself to be zocha on his own behalf, and therefore we expand that yad. But again, it's only in a case where he wants to be zochel and nafshe. If he doesn't want to be zochel and nafshe, he simply wants to be zochel on behalf of his friend, then we're going to apply the principle of chav l'acherim. And we're going to say that you don't have a yad to be zochel acherim. It's only when you implement and activate your yad li atzmo that the Torah gave you reshus and zchus in this mamon to be zochel. Now, it's hefker is something that every person on the face of the globe has a zchus to be zochel. Yeah. This, Alan, you may remember we spoke about in the Rogachova once. Yeah. So everybody has a zchus. It's not onerous, but everybody has a zchus in hefker. Then once I implement and I exercise that zchus by being zocha for myself, I can now expand that zchus and expand that yad such that now I have a yad to be zocha on your behalf as well, and we no longer say chav l'acherim. But that's only because I'm implementing my yad befall in actuality. And now Rava wants to show that there is such a halacha called migu. And where is that? This is the case of shutafim, of partners in a gneva, in a theft. And we have a braisa, teda, we have a braisa, which indicates that you can lift up something on behalf of yourself and someone else. Ilu amar adam lishlucho, a man says to his agent, tsei ugnovli, go and steal that object. Vigana. So what happens over here? We have an overlap here of two different issues. One issue is whether the shlichus itself is valid, and that touches on two principles. One is shlucho shel adam kimoso, which the Gemara derives the kedushin from the parsha of Get and from other different parshios. And then we have a principle called ein shliach l'dvar avera. And that's going to be the sugya that we're about to embark upon here in Bav Metzia. The main sugya of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, although it appears all over Shas, is right here in front of our eyes in Masechta Bav Metzia Daf Ches. So what happens here in the case of Tsei Ugnovli Veganav? Now there are two possibilities. The Gemara rejects a third possibility. One possibility is that the Ganav is Chayav, that's the one who actually stole the object. He went into someone else's Rishus and he schlepped out his sheep and he is Chayav. The other possibility is that Shlichus operates and therefore the one who's going to be Chayav is not the one who did the Gneva, but rather the one who appointed him as his agent. The third possibility is that no one's Chayav. The Shliach is not Chayav because he didn't do it on his own behalf, and the Mishalech is not Chayav because ain't Shliach L'Dvar Avera. So the Braisa says Potur. Now, the Braisa is referring to the Mishalech, and this we'll see in Rashi and other Rishonim. Why is the Mishalech Potur? The Mishalech says to the Shliach, Divrei Arav, V'divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomim. And this is a sugya in Masechta Kiddushin on Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis. The Gemara concludes and formulates the principle called Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, which means that as far as the Mishalech is concerned, he will not be chayav for the Maisa Shliach, because he turns to the Shliach and he says, why did you listen to me? Now what exactly does that mean? Let's just say very balabatish. The Mishalech had no clue, he had no anticipation that the Shliach would fulfill his Shlichus. All of Shlichus is predicated on a chazaka that Shliach osa Shlichuso. So when I appoint you as my Shliach, I have every right to rely on the fact that you will fulfill my Shlichus. And that's what generates the Shlichus. However, there's an exception to that rule. And that's the case of Divrei Arav, Divrei HaTalmud. In other words, if I send you to do an Avera, I assume that you won't do an Avera. You're not going to listen to me. I'm not your boss. The boss has got a big G on his sweatshirt. And therefore, I didn't anticipate that you would fulfill my shlichus. Okay, so that's case number one.
Why'd you ask him?
Now we get to case number two. V'shutvim sheganvu. What happens if two people enter into the possession, into the domain of so-and-so, and together they steal something? And the Braisa says, chayovim, that they will split the chiyuv of gneva. Let's say, for example, in the case of kefel, maybe they'll split the kefel. We'll see some Rishonim are going to say that each one has to pay kefel. And the Gemara now asks the following question, the very naive question, my timer. Why is this so? How could they be working in tangent, you know, in tandem, and create a gneva as a partnership? After all, each one is doing his own action, and if you want to say that that action is meaningful on behalf of the other one, then you're going to have to implement the principle of shlicha. So we just finished saying that ein shlicha dvar veira, and the Gemara answers, no, it has nothing to do with ein shlicha dvar veira because of this migu. What does this migu mean? Mishum de amrina migu de zochi lenafshe zochi nami lechavre. That since the ganav, let's say one ganav, whichever of the two you want to choose, he is interested in being zocher in the gneva on his own behalf. That gives him a yad, because he's not a shliach in that context, he's doing the gneva on his own behalf. Once he has a yad to be zocher on his own behalf, he can also be zocher on behalf of his friend. So that act of kinyan gneva now relates to both of them. And how does that work? How could Reuven do an act of gneva on behalf of Shimon? After all, we have a principle of ein shliach l'dvar avera. The same question we ask in the case of Mitzia. How could Reuven be zochen a Mitzia on behalf of Shimon when we say that there's no such thing as shlichus when it's chav l'acherim and anyone has the choice, even the third person, to be zochen this Mitzia? So it's chav l'acherim. So we have two barriers, so to speak, two impediments that we have to overcome in two different cases, respectively, as far as the efficacy of shlichus. One is that there's no shlichus if it's chav l'achrini, and the second is that there's no shlichus if it's l'dvar avera. And yet, we have two exceptional cases. In the case of magbia mitzia, in our mission of Shnayim Oksim, we have an exception to the rule. And a person could become a shliach, as we discussed at great length, to be zochen a mitzia, even though it's chav l'acherim. Now we have a second exception in the case of Gneva, that two shutvim could participate in a joint act of theft, and each one is now lifting up and making a kinyan in this Gneva on behalf of the other one, and yet we have a principle called Ein Shlichus L'Varvera. How do we overcome that impediment? And the Gemara says that there's one answer to both, and that's called Migu. That whenever we limit your yad in such a way that you can't have a yad on behalf of someone else, you can only have a yad on your own behalf, and therefore the action that you implement as a kinyan could not be effective on behalf of someone else as a shlichus, then we ask the following question: are you implementing this action solely, exclusively on behalf of your friend, meaning as a shliach, and therefore you don't have a yad to be a koneh as a shliach of someone else, either because it's chav l'acherim or because it's a dvar veira? Or are you implementing your own zchus yad, that the Torah gave you a monetary right to make this kinyan, for example, in the case of Mitzia, and once you have a yad that could be effective on your own behalf, if you are kone and you implement this hagbah on your own behalf, maybe we can expand your yad to include what? To include shlichus on behalf of someone else. Here in the case of Gneva, the Gemara is saying the following, that the Ganov, insofar as he wants to implement this Maisa Gneva on his own behalf, that Yad is recognized by the Torah, and paradoxically the Torah will recognize the Kinyan Gneva with all its repercussions. Now he can expand that Yad, and he can become a shliach, because he's exercising his rights and his monetary yad to be zocher. Now, even though it's an avera, we're able to expand that yad and allow him to make this kinyan agbah even on behalf of someone else, even though it's an avera, because he's stealing something. Says Rava, I have a proof now to our principle of migu de zochi l'nafshe, zochi l'nami l'chavre. Again, all this is before we get to the sugya peah. That's going to be a very interesting question, if one ani could be zochin peah on behalf of another ani. Amar Rava, Rava says, you know what? I'm going to give you another din where two people collectively or in partnership will lift something up and implement a hagbah. And that too is based on this migu. Hashta di amrit amrinu migu. Let's apply it to the following case. Cheresh upikeach shigbiu mitzia. Now the law of a cheresh is, don't think we're talking about a deaf person, okay, but a cheresh is someone who is not a bardas, cheresh shota v'katan. For example, not only can't he cannot hear, but he cannot speak, he's also mute. And his status is that of a lav bardas, which means that his kinyonim are ineffective. A pikeach, on the other hand, is a bardas. They both together, simultaneously, lifted up a mitziah. Now, as far as the hagbah of a cheresh is concerned, he cannot be kona because he's a lav bardas. However, the Rabbanon, this is a Mishnah in Gittin, established that he has a yad to be zochen something. That's called Mishum Darkei Shalom. Now what happens here? The pikeach needs the, he needs the cheresh desperately. Why? Because they're both lifting it up simultaneously. And if that be the case, then the pikeach is only lifting up half of the talis, or whatever the object may be, the mitzvah. How?
Yeah. The kinyanim are not on the same level. Because Mishum, you know, the Darkei Shalom is not the same kinyan as the...
Correct. So this is going to be the famous hakira that we once discussed in the past. Is Darkei Shalom create a yad and a salach in kinyanim? Or is it just a siluk, which means that everyone else has to remove themselves? This sugya at this point seems to be operating with the premise that b'pnei Darkei Shalom, the Chacham went a step further and they upgraded the yad of a cheresh to a yad l'kinyanim. And kinyanim d'rabbanon, a moel even d'oraisa. For example, let's say a man will be zochem d'rabbanon in a get. I'm talking about a case of a bardas. Then he can use that get to be megarish his wife. Because once he's kona, the kinyan itself has the same efficacy or the same status as a kinyan d'oraisa. Let's go back to our case. So we have a mitziah that's laying on the ground, and there are two people who are lifting up the mitziah simultaneously. One is a cheresh, the other is a pikeach. And Rava wants to know, can the pikeach benefit or shall I say connect or tune in, you know, plug in to the agbah of the cheresh? Because if he cannot, then basically what we have is the pikeach lifting up only half of the object, which is not enough. Hagbah has to be on the entire object. So the answer has to be that somehow the cheresh is effectuating a kinyan hagbah not only on his own behalf, but on behalf of the pikeach. Now, a cheresh is a lav bardas. How is he able to effectuate a kinyan on his own behalf? And the answer is because since the Rabbanon established Mishum Darkei Shalom that a cheresh has kinyanim, and again now we're assuming it's not just that we have to remove ourselves, but rather that the cheresh has a positive kinyan and hilchus kinyanim, he can now, through the application of the principle of migu, he can be zochen, be magbia, not only on his own behalf, but on behalf of the pikeach as well. And the Gemara is very confused. Bishlema, I understand very well, cheresh kana. Why? Because the kinyan agbah of the pikeach is a full-fledged kinyan agbah, and the pikeach could now effectuate a kinyan on behalf of the cheresh, to come magbi le ben das. So on the second half of the talis, which is the half that the pikeach is lifting up, the cheresh could plug in, so to speak, connect to that hagbah. Why? Because since the hagbah is being done through a bendas, through the pikeach, on behalf of the cheresh, everything's fine. Because the hagbah of the pikeach is a valid, meaningful hagbah, and therefore it could be implemented on behalf of the cheresh. But again, the pikeach is only willing to do that because he wants the hagbah of the cheresh to link in, so to speak, and kick in for on his behalf. How is that possible? El pikeach b'maykana. How could he be zocheh in this mitzia through his friend who's a cheresh, and that hagba is not considered a hagba. So we're going to have to assume that at this point the Gemara backtracks and is not willing to say that the hagba of the cheresh is a valid hagba. Even though, again, we have the Mishnah in Gittin that says that takonis chachamim mishum eva mishum darkei shalom, mishum darkei shalom, that we're not allowed to steal it, we're not allowed to grab it away from the cheresh, but that's not a halacha of kinyanin. So basically, as far as the kinyan akba is concerned, the cheresh's kinyan akba is meaningless. So if we're going in one direction, if you would allow the hagba of the pikeach to be meaningful on behalf of the cheresh, that's fine. But if you want to go in the other direction, how would it be that we could validate the hagba of the cheresh on behalf of the pikeach? So the Gemara goes to a very extreme position on this. Ella, Ema, maybe we have to rewrite the text and go back to square one. And the halacha is that the cheresh kana, but pikeach lo kana. That enochinami, the hagba of the pikeach, could be meaningful on behalf of the cheresh, but not vice versa. So in this case, the pikeach is stuck with adani hagba. So if that be the case, then basically, as far as the pikeach is concerned, the other half of the talis is kemunach al gabi karka, and that undermines his hagba. Again, keep in mind that we would have said the exact, we should have applied the logic in the reverse as well, that if the hagba of the pikeach is not meaningful in and of itself for the pikeach, then lechora, as far as the cheresh is concerned, that half of the talus is kimunach hagabi karka. How is it that the Gemara is satisfied or comfortable with the position that the cheresh himself could be zocha? Where's the other half? Elo, are you going to say that the pikeach is being magbi on behalf of the cheresh? Well, that only works if it's a mutual agreement, and the hagba of the cheresh could be meaningful and effective on behalf of the pikeach as well. So the Gemara right away asks, Umay Migu, let's clarify this. Right? Rava wanted to derive a proof for his principle of Migu, where we expand the yad of a person in a case where he is implementing his rights to be Zocha for himself, then we can expand it even if it's Chav L'Acherim as a Shliach for someone else. But here, how can you possibly set up the Agbah of the pikeach as operating in a valid way on behalf of the cheresh when it's chav l'acherim? We're talking about a mitzia, and you cannot be zoch on behalf of someone else in a mitzia because of chav l'acherim unless you apply the principle of migu. But migu is only applicable if so-and-so, in this case the pikeach, is implementing his yad to be zocha on his own behalf. But that he can't do because the other half of the talis is kimunach al gabi karka. So how did Rav understand that this case of, again, let's just read the case one more time. I'm sorry. The case is cheresh upikeach shigbiu mitzia. If they both pick up the mitzia together, mitoch shekana cheresh kana pikeach. There's a mutual hagba, both effective on behalf of the cheresh and the pikeach, and that's based on the principle of migu. If now we've come to the conclusion that the cheresh could be kona, but the pikeach can't be kona, that undermines the whole principle of migu. So the Gemara comes up with a new formulation. And here Tosus Dibra Maskel Umay is going to have a problem with this formulation. The Gemara says the following: Migu Dishnei Chershin Di Alma Kanu Hai Nami Kanu Kani. Now we have a case where two people lift up a talis. Rabosa, do you hear what's going on? No one hears it because they're both chereshim. That was just a joke. So two deaf people, in fact they're deaf mutes, were lifting a single mitzia in sync, and each one is going to be zocher not only on behalf of himself but on behalf of his friend, even though we're talking about a mitzia and we should apply the principle of chav l'acherim. Okay, so I can say the following, that each cheresh can rely on his buddy to lift up the hagbah on his behalf. Why? Because each one has an equal yad in being kone, and therefore they can do this as a mutual act, and the hagbah of one cheresh will relate to the other and vice versa. So Gemara now says that we're going to apply the principle of migu in the case of cheresh and pikeach, and we're going to say the following, that when the cheresh and the pikeach in sync will lift up the metzia, it's considered a hagbah for the cheresh, because the hagbah for the cheresh is something that the Rabbanon recognize. But you'll ask me, how could the cheresh be considered to have a yad? And the answer is because if he would lift up this object together with another cheresh, then each cheresh, insofar as they're both equal, like so again, the hagbah's cheresh could not be effective on behalf of the pikeach, but it would be effective on behalf of another cheresh. So Tosa says the following: how can we derive from the case of two chereshim any conclusions about a cheresh and pikeach? He says, in the case of shnei cheresim, they are zocha together mitam migu, and now you're adding another migu to the first migu. So in the case of shnei cheresim, I don't know, something's wrong with my voice, I apologize,
but it's not possible, because migu de zocha l'nafshei, he's not zocha l'nafshei.
He's zochel in nafshei min rabbanon because of what we call
darkei shalom.
Darkei shalom. Now, since his hagbah would be meaningful on behalf of himself, we can expand his yad even on behalf of another cheresh. Tosa says that's one migu. Now you can apply a second migu, and you're going to say that the cheresh now could be zocha on behalf of the pikeach, because if it would have been that the other person was what? Was a cheresh, then the cheresh number one could be zocha on behalf of cheresh number two.
One more to drink?
Why don't you drink?
Yeah, I'm trying to drink the water, but it's not.
Why don't you have hot tea hot instead? It'd be better.
Is it hot?
Tea is better than water?
Yeah.
Well, no, I didn't know. I have your box here.
It's your box.
I don't know why tea would be better than water, but Alan, if you're a scientist, so I have to...
It's inside the next one.
Okay. I have to rely on you.
Behind your jacket.
So now, Tosis has a problem in building one migu on top of another migu. How could it be that in the case of a cheresh and a pikeach who are working together as one joint effort to be magbia mitzia, we're going to apply the migu that if they would have been shnei chereshim, then we would validate the kinyan and we would validate the mutual hagbah based on migu? So now you're going to add another migu on top of one migu. Oh, thank you so much, Yosef. This is really great. Because you know the tea is going to do it for me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make a bracha because you didn't put any sugar in here, did you?
No.
Okay, so I'm just drinking it for purposes of refuah, and therefore I'm not going to make a bracha. So don't get shocked if I don't make a bracha. It doesn't mean I'm not bikuris. I may be not bikuris for other reasons, but not because I didn't make a bracha.
Well, so we make a bracha chrona.
I'm not going to make any bracha at all. I mean, that's okay. So the Ritva comes to try to answer Tosus's kasha, and I don't understand what the Ritva says. He says the following: Kavanas haGemara hi, kemoshe tiknu chachamim b'shnei chereshim sheyiknu, af she'ein konim min haTorah klal. So in other words, the Torah doesn't validate or recognize their hagbah, but the Rabbanon made a takana that their hagbah is valid. Kmo chen tiknu shetia hagbas pikeach hagba klape hacheresh. So it means the following, that the Ritva is not learning that this sugi is based on migu, because Tosfos claims that you can't build one migu on top of the other. Although, again, we're going to have a problem because in the sugi peah we're going to build one migu on top of the other migu. Right, that the Baal HaBayis could be zoch on behalf of one of the aniyim, because he himself could be an ani if he was mafkir in the chasim, right? And the ani himself could be zoch on behalf of another ani only because of migu dezoch lenafshe, he could have collected this payah for himself. But right now, what we know is that Tosfos rejects the possibility of piling one migu on top of the other. If that be the case, the Ritva says, scrap the idea of migu at this point. What we're going to talk about now is the Takanas Chachamim. And how did the Rabbanon establish and validate the Hagbah of a Cheresh? For whatever reason they did so, they established it in such a way that anyone else who is there to help them with that Hagbah will successfully achieve that goal. And they established that Takana in two possible scenarios. One is, and that's where we could have understood even without this special takana through migu, and that's shnei cherishim, because in shnei cherishim, since they're both equal, we can certainly apply the principle of migu. And now the Rabbanan took one step forward, says the Ritva, and they established the yad and the hagbah of the validity of the hagbah of the cheresh, even in a case where the other magbia, who's simultaneously lifting up the other half of the object, is whom is a pikeah. So the Gemara now asks the following question. Hai mai, what is the equation here between a cheresh and a pikeach and shnei cherishim? The Gemara says the following. Even if I argue, afilim timtza lomar, that I accept Rami Bar Chama, that in the case of a Magbiya Mitzia, if he's interested in being Kona the Mitzia for himself and at the same time on behalf of someone else, the Nagbah is done as a twofold purpose, we're going to apply the principle of Magbiya Mitzia Chavero Kona Chavero in that case. Hani Mili, that only applies Hecha Deka Magbiya Le Adaite De Chavero. In other words, either he has an explicit statement or implicitly based on circumstantial evidence, we have reason to believe that he wants to operate not only on his own behalf, but on behalf of the other one. Otherwise, he's stuck with Kimunachas on Gabi Kark. But let's see, how do we apply this in a case of a Pikech and a Cheresh? Hi, Adaita di Deka Magbile, is Iulokani Lachrini Mikni? This Pikeach is interested in lifting up the Mitzia for himself. He himself cannot effectuate this Kinyan because the Cheresh is lifting up together with him the other half of the object. Lachrini Mikni? You're telling me that the Pikeach will not be Zocha and only the Cheresh will be Zocha. How does that work? If he himself is not Zocha, then you've undermined the entire principle of Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama said that since he's Zoch, he can be Zoch on behalf of someone else. Otherwise, it's Chav Lacherim in the case of Mitzia. Now we're saying that the Pikeach could not be Zoch in this case for himself. How can he be Zoch on behalf of someone else? You've undermined the whole principle here of Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama is willing to expand your Yad, even in the case of Mitzia, when you are implementing that Kinyan on your own behalf. Now again, how the Ritva is going to deal with this Gemara, I don't know, because the Ritva is saying there was a separate takana on behalf of the Cheresh, that even if the other half of the object is being lifted by the Pikeach, nevertheless, the Rabbanan are going to validate that Hagbah on behalf of the Cheresh. But in any event, the Gemara now seems to be operating within the framework of Rami Bar Chama's Migu. How can you possibly entertain, therefore, the possibility that the Pikeach himself is not Zocha, and yet his Hagbah is meaningful on behalf of the Cheresh? You've undermined the entire Svara of Migu. So now the Gemara tries to reformulate Rava's statement. Ela Ema, perhaps this is what Rava had in mind. We have a case, again, where a Cheresh and Pikeach simultaneously lift up a Mitzia. It means the following. that if the Chereish, I'm sorry, if the Pikeach cannot be Zocha on his own behalf, then we cannot consider his Hagbah as meaningful as a Shliach on behalf of the Chereish. Is therefore no one makes a Kinyan, and it's as if the we'll call it a Talis, is Munachas al Gabi Karka. So what does that mean? The Pikeach cannot implement a Hagbah on behalf of the Chereish if he's not Zocha for himself. And on the flip side, the Chereish cannot be Kone if the Hagbah of the Pikeach is not valid, is not meaningful. So you'll ask me, but what about Shnei Chereshim B'Alma? V'chi Tema Maishna Mishnei Chereshim? We said that in the case of two Chereshim that simultaneously lift up a lost object, they're both Kone, and the Rabbanan validate that Kinyan. So why not say the same thing here, and maybe this would address the question of the Ritva, that now that the Rabbanan validated the Hagbah of a Chereish, for whatever reason, as we said before, they now will validate two Chereshim, who are simultaneously doing Hagbah, and maybe they went a step further, and they'll validate the Hagbah of a Pikeach on behalf of the Chereish, because they want the Chereish to have the ability to be Zocha. So the Gemara says your answer would be Hasam, in the case of Shnei Chereshim, Tekinu Le Rabbanon. The Rabbanon want to institute a low lintzi. They want to avoid any sort of an anarchy, and they want to create what shall we call it? Shalom bayis. So the Rabbanon, in the case of two Chereshim, are going to establish that they both equally are Zocha in this Mitziah. And that's what we call Tikkun Olam. But Hacha, here in the case where the Chereish and the Pikeach are Magbia together, then if the Pikeach, just one second, if the Pikeach will grab the object out of the hands of the Chereish and will get into a riv, you know, some sort of an insuye situation, is then Meimar Omar, the Chereish has the right to turn to the Pikeach and say, Pikeach lo koni, ana ekni, if the Pikeach cannot effectuate a kinyan, at least let my kinyan be valid. And he adds the following. He says, V'yizbar shemisha chataf mimenu kidin asa v'lo yariv imo. So in other words, when the Gemara says ana ekne, you read it with the question mark. In other words, in what situation did the Rabbanan feel that they were compelled to institute this takana, Mishum Darkei Shalom, to validate the kinyan of the Chereish? That's only because the other person is a Chereish. And therefore, if you were to invalidate the kinyan, they're going to get into a situation which one Chereish is going to grab it away from the other. So what we're going to do is we're going to freeze the situation as is, and both are going to be recognized as an effectual kinyan. But in the case of the Chereish with a Pikeach, he's going to understand very well that if the Pikeach grabs it away from him, then the Pikeach has rights to do so because the Pikeach is superior to him. It's not like two Chereshim that are both equal in status. Okay then.
Yeah, this one is really up in the air. I mean that both literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
I mean, the mice is, if you look at it in a micro form, so to speak, the Pikeach cannot be for anybody, whether he's a shoter or he's not a shoter, until he actually eats his own hagbah. But once he activates his own hagbah, he no longer can be zocha for the other one because he was zocha in the whole thing at that time. And you can't say, if you can do it beforehand, why do you have to say he has to want to be zochah for himself? Why isn't the very fact that he has the power to be zochah for himself?
Potentially, you mean?
Yeah, potentially he could. And therefore he could be zochah for the other one without being zochah for himself.
So you're asking the following, if I could formulate it in my terms. Why does Rami Bar Chama assume the following premise? That we only apply the principle of validating both Hagbos in a simultaneous situation because right now they're both being Zocha on behalf of themselves. Why not just say, well, he has the potential to be Zocha, and therefore we should recognize his Hagbah now?
Right.
I think the answer to that question, the best that I can do at this point, again, I'll try to research it further, is because if there's no migu dezachri lenafshe now, in other words, if we cannot implement the yad at this moment, then there's no basis for expanding that yad. You could say, well, he has a potential yad, but from Rami Bar Chama's perspective, a potential yad is not enough to undermine the principle of chav l'acherim.
No, but that's the migu yad. The migu yad is not only by being chav l'acherim, but being chav l'shali, because by being the other one, I've given up my chance.
My rights,
right in there too. So since I can do that, I should be able to be masking him.
Right.
And the second point is when there's two Jewishim that are both claiming the same thing, you can't say that their original power comes from the Takanas Rabbanan of Darkei Shalom. Because they don't have a tithe of Darkei Shalom. Their whole tithe of Darkei Shalom is you're allowing people that can hear that they're first class citizens and I'm second class citizen. But when they're both in the same equal right, there's no Darkei Shalom question.
Right. That is true. Okay, Rabosai, would we want to learn a little chulin as well?
Okay.
Okay, good. So how many of you